Tonight's readings are by special request from the NIV, so I'll not be giving you a Pew Bible reference. The first one's from John 3, verses 26 to 30. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." And the second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lynn. I don't know, it's her last Sunday and she thinks she can change the translation of the Bible that we use. Did she ask permission for this? Running amok. Let's pray for you, Jo. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Jo. She is our beloved sister in Christ. And we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak through her an insightful word to each one of us tonight. In the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
No pressure then. Well, for the past few weeks, I have been really praying very hard about what to say in my final talk to you as Minister for Families. And it occurred to me that over the past few weeks here in the 6 o'clock service, we have been looking at the importance of the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. And so I thought, what better than to continue this theme, but with particular emphasis on his ability to connect us to our vision and purpose in life, keep us on track, especially as we negotiate the shifting seasons and signs along the way, and as we work out how to persevere, especially when we hit obstacles, hardships, or long patches of unchanging landscape. The work, guidance, and encouragement of the Holy Spirit is vital to us as individuals and as a church. And so, to illustrate some of this, I'm going to look at the life of John the Baptist. I'm also going to pick up on some of Paul's words in his letter to the church at Philippi, as well as using some personal examples from my own life from over the past 14 years or so. First of all, let's look at John. You know, if ever there was a man who had purpose and vision, it was John the Baptist. Right from his conception, his parents were aware of his destiny. His mother felt the anointing of the Spirit over her son as she carried him in her womb. His father spoke words of prophecy over him, saying, "And you, child, shall be the prophet of the Most High, for you shall go before the Lord to prepare his way." And although we know little of John's early life, we know that by the power of the Spirit, he became a voice in the desert, proclaiming that people should repent and be baptized in preparation for the coming kingdom of God. In our reading tonight, we catch up with John in the midst of a thriving ministry, baptizing people on the banks of the River Jordan. It is at this point in his ministry that we hear John say those profound words, which to me encapsulate the vision of every believer and church, when he says of Christ, "He must become greater and I must become less." However, these words were also a proclamation of yet another phase of John's personal vision and destiny, something he could not have discerned without the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there were circumstantial signs of change as well. You know, already people were pointing out and saying, "Hey, John, don't you know that Jesus has started baptizing people on the other side of the Jordan and everybody is starting to follow him now?" No doubt they were curious to see how this man of God would react to being superseded by his cousin. But John, rather than responding to his ego and saying something like, "Well, what about me? And what about all I've done? And where do I fit in now?" hears the Spirit and speaks out these profound words, words that begin the change of direction in his ministry and calling. You know, when it comes to our own personal vision and purpose as an individual or a church, the beginning of direction often comes initially from our words. And that's why we must never underestimate the power of our words. Words build our future, whether we know it or not. So it's vitally important that we wake up to the story that we are telling ourselves each and every day. So ask yourself, does the story or the narrative in my head line up with God's story for my life? Is it fueled by faith and inspired by the Holy Spirit? Or perhaps tonight you don't even know that God has a story for you. Or is your story fueled by a self-seeking ego or anger or fear? And as a church, we should also listen to the way that we speak about ourselves collectively here in this place. What are our words creating for the future? 16 years ago, I was in a very different season of my life. Many of you will know my husband of 18 years had died of cancer, and I was left with the daunting task of bringing my three children up on my own. The signs of change were evident. And as a widow, I used to run a 4-mile circuit 2 or 3 times a week, and I would feel prompted by the Spirit to proclaim the same words over my life based on Psalm 16. "Lord, you have assigned to me my portion and my cup. My lot in life is secure with you. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." This was my proclamation of faith, that one day my life would begin to blossom again. And saying it at a time of barrenness was really important. As I spoke these words and others that the Spirit gave me, they began to shape in my mind a new picture of my future, a new vision. You see, just like John, my changing destiny began with words. And actually, for the past 14 years, I have been standing in the reality of those words. But it has not been easy. You know, many of us can relate to that when we say the things that we intend to do. For example, "I'm going to go to university. I'm going to get married. I'm going to foster children. I'm going to open a gym, a business, a restaurant, or we're going to reorder the church, or we're going to build an extension. Saying it is one thing. The outworking of it is something else. Back in October, it was Sally's birthday, my youngest, and seeing as she has just started a university degree which will qualify and train her to assist in the operating theatre, Derek and I thought it would be a good idea to buy as one of her birthday presents the game Operation. It's much harder than you think, actually. Now, as I looked at the picture on the front of the box, I said to myself, I'm going to make Sally a birthday cake just like that. This was the reality. Yeah, it was it was a lot harder than I imagined, and it didn't look as I had imagined. Now, it's good to have a vision and a picture as we set off on the journey, but working it out will mean overcoming hardships and obstacles along the way. And so, as well as welcoming the help of the Holy Spirit, we also need to equip ourselves for the journey. And this is where Paul's words of wisdom to the church in Philippi can really help us. You see, it seems to me that his experience of bringing into being the vision and calling that he had received from God had taught him three important principles: forgetting, pressing, and taking. And actually, I see those three principles in a kind of cycle, not on a linear line. I think it's an ongoing cycle often in our life. Forgetting, pressing, taking. Forgetting, pressing, taking. Forgetting, pressing, taking as we move forward. Let's look at each one. Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. I don't think Paul is suggesting that we totally forget about the past, in that we erase it or it becomes meaningless. You know, Paul certainly had a past. He was a persecutor of the church, and he may have passionately wanted to forget that part of his life. But his past was also a powerful part of his testimony. For he was now a disciple of the very one he had sought to persecute. Therefore, I think the forgetting he suggests that we do is more about leaving the past things behind in order to embrace the new things God has for us, as opposed to being defined by the past and living there. I certainly haven't forgotten the importance of my past with Steve, and I will always honour it. But I had to leave it behind in order to follow the deepening call on my life. Setting out on that journey was exciting, but as God began to develop the picture I had in my mind of my future and make it a reality, it didn't quite look the same. You see, one moment I was telling God how willing I was to follow him, and the next I was moving house, starting a new job, getting married again. My house was suddenly full of new people and animals, a dog, a cat, two rats, a hamster, and two goldfish. I felt swamped. I could hardly catch my breath. And on top of all that, I was trying to learn what it meant to be Anglican. No longer was my home a refuge. It was on the go 24/7. And then, just as things began to settle down 5 years into our married life, Derek was diagnosed with cancer. This was not how my vision was supposed to look. You know, the hardest thing was letting go of the original picture I had had in my mind of how it was going to look. I found myself idealizing the past. hanging on to disappointment and resentments, and doubting my decision to embark on the journey in the first place. It felt really hard to keep moving away and forgetting what was behind me. And I can remember praying to God one day and complaining about it all. And I felt him speak to me, and this is what he said. He said, "Joe, embrace the ingredients I have given you and make something with it. You can't have everything gift-wrapped. This is why I've brought you here." And so, just like Paul, I had to learn how to press in. I wondered why you were laughing then. Have you ever been locked out of your house? Well, sometimes it would happen at our old house up on Trap Lane, but fortunately, the back door had got a cat flap in it, and we soon discovered that if we pushed our arm hard enough into the small opening with a small branch from the garden in our hand, we could just about reach the key on the kitchen side and flick it onto the floor, enabling us to pick it up. Sometimes, to make our vision a reality, we have to press in, or in other words, persevere. Newt Gingrich, a former speaker of the United States House of Representatives, says that perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired from the hard work you've already done. And you know what? It's essential. You see, often it can seem that we are locked out of the place we somehow know we are meant to be. And so tonight I want to remind us that we have enemies. We have a spiritual enemy that will stand in our way and tell us that we are wrong, or there's no point, or it's too hard. But you know, sometimes we can encounter opposition from those that we really thought would support us, and opposition from our own doubts. That's when we need to keep hold of God's word and continue to persevere and press in. And as we do, we will take hold of that key, as it were, that will unlock the future God has ordained for us. Paul puts it like this: we are to press in and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. And you know, that is quite different to letting things take hold of us. Derek tells a very endearing story about his dad, who worked for British Steel, and one day came home complaining bitterly that his toe had been hurting him all day. When he took his steel-capped boots off, Derek said, "A shuttlecock fell out." Taking him all day to take his boots. He had literally been walking around all day with a shuttlecock in one of his boots. I was wondering actually how many of you thought I might say it was going to be a hedgehog. That would have been a really good story, wouldn't it? Derek's dad walking around all day with a hedgehog in his boot. No, it was a shuttlecock. Clearly, that had nothing to do with his job, and it didn't belong there. But you know, some of the stuff that we are holding and carrying has nothing to do with what Christ has taken hold of us for. Unforgiveness, disappointment, resentment, bitterness, doubt, negativity are not the things which will move us forward into our destiny. They hinder us. They cause us pain. But the Holy Spirit wants to heal us and unburden us from such baggage so that we can fulfill our vision and truly blossom. And so my final point tonight is to remind us all that whilst it is important to connect with our purpose in life and to actively leave the past behind, press in, and take hold of the things Christ has taken hold of us for, can we please remember that the most important thing about being a follower of Christ and fulfilling our vision is that we become a people who know that God loves us beyond all our imagination. We are, after all, part of the greatest love story ever told. When Derek and I came back from Sardinia in September, we decided to buy a coffee machine so that we could enjoy proper Italian coffee. And the machine is very easy to use, and it even has the facility to froth the milk. Now, when I make myself a coffee, I can never be bothered to froth the milk. But the other day, I asked Derek if he would make me a coffee, and this is what I received. But you know what really blessed me was finding the hole he'd cut out of his newspaper in order to cut the template of a love heart. Put the chocolate on. He'd gone to so much trouble to show me his love. And the same is true in our relationship with God. His desire is to see us blossom, and that our blossoming will become a sign of hope and life to the world. And finally, this photograph has been the desktop picture on my laptop for the last 3.5 years. And every day I've been looking at your faces, smiling back at me. Recently, though, it has felt like you have been waving goodbye to me. I would like to say thank you for the privilege of serving you over the past 14 years. I've loved every minute. Well, nearly. And I will genuinely continue to have a great love for you all. But I also want to thank Gary and the staff team for being an amazing bunch of people to work with and to pray with. However, a couple of years ago, I began to recognize the signs of a possible change of direction in my own ministry. Yes, circumstances were changing, new people joining us, people saying, "What are you doing now, Joe? Now you're not doing toddlers." But more importantly, the Spirit was prompting me to pray and say different words. "Lord," I said, "as much as I love it here, I am willing to lay it down. I just don't want to miss the next season. I just don't want to stagnate." And those words, yes, they have tested me, but they've also brought me to my last Sunday with you, where in a couple of weeks, I will be stepping into the concrete reality of those words as I join the chaplaincy team at the Northern General. And no doubt, just as it was 14 years ago, it will not be as I imagine. But Christ is with me, and I know that by his Spirit, as I press in, I will take hold of the new things that God has ordained for me. I earnestly pray that you will do the same. Last week, we were invited to come forward for prayer in order to step more fully into the world of the Spirit. Tonight, I've asked the musicians to sing a song that I wrote a number of years ago called "More of You and Less of Me." It's a prayer inviting Christ to have his way in our lives. And perhaps you would like to make it your prayer tonight. And so when they've sung it, I want to extend that same invitation to be prayed for tonight if you would like to. Maybe you want to invite Christ in for the first time or renew your commitment. Or maybe you need prayer to rid yourself of some of that baggage you are carrying, which has nothing to do with your destiny and in fact hinders you. Whatever it is, I urge you to come and receive. and to allow Christ to become greater in your life, fulfilling your vision and purpose to the glory of God. Amen.